World Health Organization Infection Control Webinar Series, Infection Control in Developing Countries, presented on December 14, 2010, by Dr. Nizam Damani, Craigavon Area Hospital, Northern Ireland. World Health Organization First Global Patient Safety Challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the Infection Control Webinar Series of the first Global Patient Safety Challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care. As you are aware, that this is the last presentation of the series. I'm Dr. Nizam Damani, and I work in Craigavon Area Hospital, and today I will give my presentation on the infection control in developing countries. This is the outline of my presentation. So after setting the scene, I will briefly highlight the key issues which are unique to the developing countries, and then look at the possible solution by sharing some of the success story, and then help you to understand that by applying basic infection control practices, it is possible to reduce healthcare associated infection on a global basis. These are the figures from the WHO on the leading causes of death worldwide. It has been estimated that infectious disease is responsible for causing approximately 13 million deaths per year, which is equivalent to about 25% of the total deaths worldwide. But if you look at the figure on the right-hand side, it shows that under the age of 44 years, infectious disease are responsible for causing up to 50% of deaths. And most of these deaths are occurring mainly in developing countries because they have got very high burden of infectious diseases, both in the community and also in hospital. Due to lack of proper surveillance data, therefore, the figure which we are presented in this particular slide are not very accurate or reliable, that what is the actual burden of healthcare associated infection in developing countries. But it has been estimated that up to 10% patient acquired infection in hospital in developed country. The risk of acquiring infection in developing countries is at least twice as high and can easily exceed over 25%. Risk of acquiring infection is very high in ICU setting and is also associated with very high morbidity and very high mortality because the patient in ICU have got multiple risk factors, lot of interventions, lot of invasive devices. This slide briefly summarizes the issues of infection control in developing countries. Most of the hospitals either have no or inadequate infection control infrastructure. And this is due to lack both of awareness and the lack of surveillance data. As a result, there is lack of strategic direction both at the national and local level. And those of us who have worked in developing countries will find that the well-organized infection control program are mainly confined to the academic institution and some well-funded government and private hospitals only. Most of the hospitals in urban areas and hospitals in the rural center have no infection control infrastructure at all. In addition to that, there is a lack of basic microbiology laboratory to diagnose infection. They do not have antimicrobial agents to treat simple infection. There's a lack of availability of hand hygiene product and hand washing facilities. Basic personal protective equipment like gloves are not available. The sterile products are not very easily available, and they are reused very frequently. And because of all these issues, that even sometimes we wish to implement safe infection control practice, it is not possible because they do not have the basic infrastructure and the goods which are available to deliver those objectives. This is the famous CINIC study, which was carried out in 1970s in the United States, which have concluded that 6% of infection can be prevented by minimal infection control effort. And I think when we are talking of developing countries, this is what we are aiming for. CINIC also proved that if you have got very well organized infection control program, then you can reduce infection by over 30%. And I think recently we have seen that implementation of healthcare bundle, this infection can be reduced even further, and indeed, in some infection, you can achieve zero rate as well. Professor Graham Ailey from the United Kingdom have highlighted that even though infection rate can be reduced drastically in most hospitals in developing country, the rate cannot be reduced below 5% unless excessive costs are incurred. And he described this term as what we describe as irreducible minimum. So the question we are asking, that despite all these issues which I've highlighted, how do we really approach infection control in developing countries? As I've told you, those of us who are working or who have worked in developing countries have noticed that there are lots of infection control practices worldwide are unsafe, ritualistic, and wasteful. So it is very important to highlight those practices and divert resources to the infection control practices which are simple, which are evidence-based, and which are cost-effective, so that we can bring the infection control down to what we describe as irreducible minimum. And then we have additional resources available, then we can monitor these practices by audit and point prevalence surveillance to see how they are effective. And these are the three slides which I'm going to show you in a minute. And this particular slide highlighted that there are some of the examples of the infection control practices which we go around in the world and we find they are completely unnecessary and they are wasteful. For example, lots of countries still do carry out routine microbiological swabbing of the environment. They still use lots of disinfectant for environment to clean floor and walls, and the regular fumigation carried out for patients who have been in isolation for very simple infection like gastroenteritis and things like that. In addition to that, there is still traditional use of overshoes, dust attracting bags, unnecessary use of personal protective clothing when they are entering the intensive care unit, in the neonatal unit. In addition to that, there is a huge amount of unnecessary use of intramuscular IV injection, especially in general practice, because sometimes the general practice gives vitamins, IV vitamins, you know, through and glucose drips to the patient just to boost their energy. So there is a huge amount of unnecessary injection takes place. And sometimes the needle and syringes which are used for these purposes are not sterile. In some occasions, there are unnecessary insertion of indwelling devices, which is a worldwide problem. But in addition to that, most of the doctors, both in hospital in the community setting used extended courses of antibiotics, both the prophylaxis and treatment. And therefore, we have seen that lots of resistant microbes, especially ESBL, are originating from developing countries because of the inappropriate use of antibiotic and also antibiotic pressure. Misuse of antibiotics are quite common, as I told you, worldwide, but in this particular slide, in some hospital, it has been estimated that up to 35% of the total healthcare budget is spent on antimicrobial compared to 11% in developing countries. And this is a slide to show you some of the examples of good infection control practices which do not require additional resources but can be achieved by simple education and training. For example, simple adherence to aseptic technique for all sterile procedures, removal of indwelling devices when they are not necessary, early triage in A&E, and isolation of the patient with communicable diseases, minimum number of TB examination performed during the labor reduce the maternal mortality infection substantially, placing patient who are mechanically ventilated in semi-recumbent position in ICU. And also, this is very important, to minimize the number of people in the operating theater to reduce the microbial bioload, as in most developing countries, operating theater do not meet even the minimum standard required for operating theater. And because we know that most of the microbes are generated by human beings, so the controlling traffic in the operating theater will be one of the crucial steps in this direction. And I can actually go on and list three more. This slide shows some of the examples of good infection control practice, and that really means that if you concentrate on these one, the benefit will be actually quite great. Say, for example, provision of education and training in simple hand hygiene, aseptic procedure, appropriate use of PPE, proper use and safe disposal of sharp in robust container to prevent illicit injury, because the incidence of hepatitis B and blood-borne viral infection is quite high in developing countries. Provision of alcoholic hand drop and hand washing facilities for hand hygiene. Now, we know that the alcohol hand drop in some developing countries is extremely expensive. And this is the reason the WHO have successfully launched the alcohol hand drop formulation, which can be adopted by developing countries. And if you go to WHO website, you will find the simple formulation is available, and it can be, it is possible that hospital can prepare it on their own. Use of proper sterile items for invasive procedure is also very important. Use of single-use disposable sterile needle and syringes to prevent blood-borne viral infection. Now, this is a very common practice at the moment in South Asia, where the blood-borne viral infections are very common, and the reuse of needle and syringes is also extremely common. Proper decontamination of items and equipment between patients to prevent cross-infection with multi-resistant organisms like MRSA, ESBL, VRE, Acinetobacter, multi-resistant pseudomonas, and things like that. Provision of hepatitis B vaccination care of healthcare workers is very crucial. But also, one of the problems we face that most of the hospital in developed world, developing countries have no occupational health department. And therefore, the post-exposure management of healthcare worker is not taking place. And we know that from worldwide, that healthcare worker in developing countries need protection. And I think it's very important that hospital in developing countries should have a proper post-exposure management for healthcare worker when they are exposed to infectious diseases in healthcare environment. Now, because of the limited resources, it is simply not possible for any healthcare hospital in developing countries to meet all the objectives. So it is very important for them to have prioritized. So the idea at the moment is that healthcare facilities must set priority and identify infections which are preventable, and then target those infections in high priority area, for example, ICU, neonatal unit, burns unit. In addition to that, they must focus on infection which require minimum resources but achieve maximum benefit. And one way of setting the priority is basically to look at the frequency of infection in your healthcare facility. And this can be done by looking the by analyzing the local surveillance data if you are available. But also sometimes the outbreak data are actually quite useful if they're available. And then carrying out a local risk assessment to see what is the impact to the patient. To say, for example, if some healthcare facility have got very high incidence of blood-borne viral infection, which is because of reuse of needle and syringes, then that will be their priority. So once the risks are identified and quantified, then you can do the risk analysis by asking three simple questions. You want to find out why these infection or incidents are happening. How often they are happening? Are they quite rare event or are they quite frequent event? Or they are quite regular event? And who is affected? Is the patient? Is the healthcare worker? Is the visitor? And then you have to do some kind of analysis that if you want to control these ones, how much is going to cost, either to eliminate it completely, and sometimes you cannot do that because they are very costly, can you actually minimize it and bring it down to the level which is acceptable to your institution? Now, once you have all this information available, you can put this information in 2x2 table, and this is just a hypothetical example. So, of course, the infection in the top right-hand corner, like one which has got high severity, high frequency, say, for example, blood-borne viral infection, because of reuse of needle syringes, is quite high, then that will be the priority of your institution, followed by the intermediate severity and high frequency, like surgical site infection, would be your second priority. And this can actually vary from country to country, but also it can vary from institution to institution in the same country. But you have to actually have this priority and risk assessment done. And what I find when I go to developing countries is that people have so many problems and they simply cannot prioritize, and they are wasting their resources in lots of issues in infection control, which are quite important, but nonetheless, you know, are not prioritized the way they wanted it. So just a matter of dealing one thing at a time, focusing which is important, dealing it, you know, one at a time, and putting all the energy and resources into that. In the following few slides, I will now actually show you and give you some examples that despite all the difficulties in infection control in developing countries, people have done lots of successful intervention, which are very simple, which are easily adaptable, and they're achievable. So this is an example in which this study was published in Lancet from Bangladesh, highlighting that when the preterm babies were treated with sunflower seed oil during the first few days or few weeks of life, they were 40% less likely to develop hospital-acquired infection. And this is the study which has also been done in Egypt, other part of the world as well. So these are very simple interventions. People have done it and people have proven it. This is another study done from the Aga Khan Hospital in Karachi, Pakistan, showing that introduction of simple measure in neonatal unit are extremely effective. So what they did was they actively involved the mother in managing and monitoring of their own babies. Hand hygiene was strictly adhered to and implemented. Co-bedding of the mother and the infant was encouraged. Breastfeeding was introduced, and also the number of visitors who visited the neonatal units was minimized. When all these simple measures were introduced, it has not only reduced the infection rate substantially, but also it has also reduced the nursing staff time. Now this is very crucial because Aga Khan Hospital is one of the hospitals who is very well in training the nurses, and most of the nurses, once they are trained, they go to developed world. So they always have big issue worldwide in developing country about the trained healthcare worker. So this is another intervention, a simple intervention in which you have power to the parents, powers in which the patient have taken the ownership of it, and it's a win-win situation, both for the patient and both for the hospital. Here is another example from Egypt, where they found that the mortality and the morbidity because of neonatal sepsis was extremely high, approaching 55%. And as a part of infection control measure, every infant was given IV antibiotic antibiotics. And this is a situation which I've seen not in Egypt but also in some other part of the world as well, where Pseudomonas and Klebsiella really is extremely rife, and most of the people have been put on, maybe they've been put on ceftazidime routinely. Now on the cholera examination, when they examine to find out why this is actually happening, they actually find that there were a poor understanding of infection control practices. When they were preparing fluid, the asepsis procedure was not followed. The area in which they were preparing it was very heavily contaminated. The bags were reused, and they drew Klebsiella not from the environment but also from the IV fluid as well. So this is a simple example in which the simple aseptic procedure was actually broken, which it resulted in increased morbidity and mortality in neonatal units. Now, once the staff were trained in the basic aseptic technique, in the preparation of IV fluid, and the clean environment was provided in one of the side of the nursery, the neonatal sepsis and the mortality fell substantially and significantly, as you can see by the red line, that from 300 cases it went down to 200. And number of beds were also released as shown by the yellow line. Now this is very important because most of the secondary and the tertiary referral center are really short of beds because of very high birth rate in developing countries. So this is an example in which the simple infection control measure have not only reduced the morbidity and mortality, but also have released the beds, which are very crucial in developing countries. This is another beautiful study published in Lancet, and this is the randomized controlled trial from Pakistan, showing the impact of hand hygiene with soap and water in the community. This simple intervention have reduced incidence of pneumonia by 50% in children under the age of 5, and incidence of diarrhea and impetigo was reduced by 53% and 34% respectively in children aged over 15 years. And again, this is extremely simple basic intervention, and this program has now been very successful and has been rolled out throughout school, Pakistan, in which they are now teaching children in this school about hand hygiene, so they can bring this message to the home, to the parents, and hopefully in next generation of these people, when they grow up, the hand hygiene, simple hand hygiene, is emphasized to reduce infection in the community. So this is a very successful intervention, you know, and has been rolled out at a larger scale. And these last two slides again show the importance of simple education and training in infection control. So this simple intervention, in which the staff in the intensive care units were mainly educated on infection control practices, which has resulted in 50% reduction of ventilated associated pneumonia in two intensive care units. So in conclusion, I wish to emphasize that approach to tackle healthcare associated infection in developing country is possible. And the way to do it is first to identify the infection control practices which are unsafe, ritualistic, unnecessary, and ineffective. And look at those ones, divert resources to apply basic infection control practices based on your local need and your local priority. And that, as I've told you, will be different for different countries and different for different healthcare facility in same countries. I've also given you some example to illustrate that implementation of simple infection control practices are achievable, they are effective, and they are affordable. And it can be applied in limited resource setting. An application of these simple basic infection control practices measure have saved thousands and thousands of lives every day. Thank you.